Have you ever noticed how celebrities have brighter, wider looking eyes? Their makeup artists have a little secret in their kit. Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute. It literally happens right before your eyes to help them look brighter, wider, and more awake for up to 8 hours. No wonder it's so loved by influencers, celebrities, and makeup artists, and has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Lumify is also the number one eye doctor recommended redness reliever eye drop, and it's FDA approved. No bleach, no dyes. Plus, it's made by the eye care experts at Bausch & Lomb, so whether you're on set, on a date, or running on just a few hours of sleep, you can have eyes that look brighter and wider with Lumify eye drops. When you try it, you'll see that it's what your eyes have been looking for. Check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sophia with an F. I am feeling super frisky today, super excited. As always, I'm recording from WTF Media Studios, Black owned studio, the only studio you should fucking record from in Soho, New York. Anyways, you guys, I am joined by my best friend. He's basically my brother, John, like the Bible. Hi.
Hey.
Guys, if you don't know John, we have been a package deal since high school, best friends since freshman year, maybe even before that, and nothing has changed. And I'm so happy to have you back. I think at this point, you have been on the show more than literally any other guest.
I've been on here four times, maybe five.
Maybe.
Around there.
Yes. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
John is the guy and the friend and the person that I could call you 20 minutes before recording and you would be like, yeah, let's go.
I'm here for whenever. Just call me.
I know.
Probably, if I'm not skateboarding, I'm there.
Can we talk about skateboarding just really
please
fast?
No, like literally, that's like all I want to, let's, I'm ready.
Because I'm such a big fan of skateboarding.
Oh yeah.
You have almost died, I think, three times in the last month
constantly,
on your electric skateboard.
Constantly cut up. I'm not going to lie, like I'm pretty good. Not to like toot my own horn, but I want to know if anyone has seen me out there just fucking zooming in Manhattan, and you're just like, whoa, what is that guy doing? I would love to know if anyone else sees me or if I'm just like...
In your own head?
You haven't seen
John,
me like that.
John, you I go 100 you, miles per hour.
I tell you that, but you have to see it.
I've seen it.
Okay.
I've also seen your hands right now. One of them's broken.
Dude, I'm always cut up. I'm always cut up.
Didn't you hit a kid or he had to move out of the way?
No, I hit a grandma, and she was not happy. Dude, but like also she was yelling at me and she was being a little crazy, but like she moved in my way. I hit her and her and her friends got like all pissed off and they were just like probably like 80, 90 years old. I don't know. But they were pissed and they were just like, you, how dare you? Like my grandson would never do this. And you know, and they were yelling at me so bad. So you know what I said? I said, well, I wish I had a grandmother. And then they stopped yelling at me, and that's how I got away with that one. But I did feel really bad about that one. I've never hit a child. I'm very cautious when there are children around.
I mean, I worry about the pedestrians, but you're really good. And you,
I am actually,
you
like, I could be
Tony Hawk
in a catalog.
Uh-huh.
That is, I don't know, maybe for
skateboarding,
extreme skateboarding.
Okay. It's not so much that I'm worried about others. Okay. It's you. Mm-hmm. You've gone to the hospital once.
I have gone there a couple times.
Yeah.
But like, you don't stop. Like, that's the thing is like, when you love something, you know it. It makes you happy. You don't stop. You just keep doing what you love.
I just think like, let's incorporate a helmet.
I do wear a beanie. I wear a beanie in case I were to like somehow, but I am pretty good at catching my fall.
All right. So we're going to move the fuck on because John literally has bruises and scrapes all along his body from skateboarding. He is really good, but
they add character.
They do. They do. If at the end of the day it makes you happy, then good for
you. I'm being as cautious as I can while being as like, you know, to as pure to myself as I can.
I love that. I want to take it away from you, John.
Okay, thanks.
Just for one millisecond, because I know once you get in front of a microphone, it's like the John show, and that's why we can never be co-hosts. Let's bring it back to Sophia, because it is called Sophia with an F, not John with a J. Okay, I have a couple updates before we dive into all things John. So, two things. My mom did ayahuasca. So my mom, our mom's actually very progressive.
They're like best friends. Mm-hmm. They're kind of crazy. Very crazy.
In the best
progressive
way. Progressive. Yes.
They are great. They're a great time. I would say like my mom is like definitely a little bit crazier. They're just like, they're just different realms, but they're both crazy.
They have great personalities.
They have multiple personalities. they're all great, but some are really hard to deal with. But I love them all. I've learned to love all of them.
Yes.
And what they are.
All but the luckily,
like your mom's personalities are, I feel like, you know. You know, moms, we love them, but they're fucking crazy. And dads, we love them, but they're weird. That's just how it is.
I mean, I don't have one, but I completely understand.
And mine is hardly there. But
okay, which, by the way, John and I were watching this show last night, and this young girl kept calling, no, she was a little bit older, actually, kept calling her dad, daddy. And it really rubbed me the wrong way. Do you call your dad daddy?
Well, I hardly call my dad. But when I do, I don't call him and say, hey, daddy.
Does Allie, your sister, she say daddy?
No, we've never called our parents mommy or daddy.
Well, you their call mom your mom and dad. By her first name.
Sometimes they'll be like, what's up, Elle? Like, I mean, her name's Ellen. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, if I were to call my dad like Tony, he'd probably like fucking rip my head off.
So you have to say dad.
I have to say dad, but I would never say daddy ever.
I don't know if it's because we sexualize the word, but it just, when I see a girl or a boy and they refer to their father as daddy,
right,
it doesn't sit well with me.
I mean, I felt that as a young age too. Like when like my friends were calling their parents daddy, I felt that. I was like, wait, I don't want to call my dad daddy, mm-mm, my mom mommy. No. Like, I'm like a big kid.
I did mommy for a little bit, and my mom actually made me feel stupid about it. And she said, stop being so whiny and stop adding a mommy or like an E or question to everything. When I was younger, I did. Oh. And she snapped me out of it. But I don't know. I would love to hear from people. I think now that when you're daddy in the bedroom became such a thing. So now if you call your dad daddy, it's just like a little bizarre.
Right. Okay. So the ayahuasca.
Back to the ayahuasca. By the way, how was it? So my mom tells me she's going to do ayahuasca. Actually, how this happened, I'm going to keep this brief, is I was out with my friends. A lot of my friends were on mushrooms. I was not, but I was on certain things, alcohol, who knows? What? And my mom texts me and she says, under no circumstances can you call me tonight, Sophia, because your ringer is on for emergencies and like you cannot get a hold of me tonight. Okay, so me, drunk, I'm like, someone kidnapped her. There's something horrifyingly wrong. Then it comes out a few hours later that she went to this ayahuasca ceremony, and they didn't do ayahuasca, but it was like this precursor to the ceremony where they did something cacao, like something, some drug. I don't know what the fuck it is. Okay, cool. Fast forward to a couple days ago, my mom tells me she's going to do the full ceremony, a shaman, everything. The interesting part about it is that it was going to happen
in West Valley.
Yeah. No one knows what West Valley is.
Well, first of all, it's in the United States.
It's in Utah. It's a city and it's fine and it's great and it's fabulous. It's known for a lot of crime. One of the most dangerous places in Utah, basically, period. And when my mom told me she was going to be doing an ayahuasca ceremony in West Valley, Utah, I had a reaction, a visceral reaction. It was a little worrisome.
Well, yeah, I 100%. I mean, I don't go there often, mm-hmm. but I do know that like they shouldn't be doing ayahuasca ceremonies because like that's very illegal in the United States. Like that's only legal that's in true. Peru, I'm pretty sure.
That's true.
So if you're doing it in your backyard, I feel like it's really sketchy. Also, mm-hmm. I did text her. On my own.
Yeah.
And I said, I was like, you know, girl, you good? Are you alive? But also, we did talk and she did not, they didn't say anything about eating food or, you know, what to eat before.
Right, because there's this whole thing with ayahuasca, which by the way. Or
even journal. I was like, oh, you've probably been journaling all day. And she was like, what are you talking about? I was like, well, you're doing ayahuasca. Like, aren't they having you journal? Isn't that like part of the process? She was like, they didn't really tell me anything. I was like, well.
I have looked into ayahuasca because I was about to do it. And I did a lot of research. I talked to a lot of different people that have done it. And it's very.
Intimate.
What you are supposed to do is not eat certain things, not take drugs, not drink alcohol. Oh, the ayahuasca pre-diet. Great, according to shamans. So what does it say? No salt, no sugar, no oil, no spicy food.
Okay, see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, you probably shouldn't be eating a ton of food before.
So why didn't
they tell her all of this before she's going under the fucking...
Why did the West Valley shaman not tell my mom to not do these things? I don't know. The one thing he did tell her, though, is the no sex rule. Which I had never, ever, ever, ever heard.
That's weird.
I had never heard that one.
Is it ecstasy? He's like, I don't know.
He's like, if you want to take, you know, LSD before ayahuasca, that's chill. Just make sure you don't have an orgasm. I don't fucking know, you guys, but just I want you guys to put yourselves in my mentality and my mindset. I get very, very nervous when people around me do intense drugs. Well, which sounds shocking because I hang out with a bunch of people that do drugs. Her going into a trip that can last about 12 hours mm-hmm. and I won't be able to hear from her. It was a little bit terrifying. And just being in that headspace of like, I don't know if my mom is going to come out normal or if she's going to come out a weirdo. I had some anxiety, but God bless her. I think, well, A, progressive. She's very progressive. B, someone very close to us was suffering from severe anxiety depression, and they went and did it and came back and said that 90% of that anxiety and depression was relieved after just one ayahuasca trip. And I personally genuinely believe in ayahuasca. I think it really is a healing experience.
I don't really know too much about it. But I'm down to do anything that's about to like open me up and be like, hey, what's up, girl? I'm here. So like if that's the kind of thing we're getting into, I'm there.
I think it's a little bit deeper than that, but something that's even deeper than ayahuasca, my mom doing it and her surviving and my mental state is my building.
Oh, I almost thought you said your bills. I was like,
oh. No. Well, actually, kind of my bills.
Bills.
I want to talk about my apartment complex. And I'm not going to say where I live. And I'm not going to talk shit.
I'll say it.
No.
I'll say it.
No, John.
I'm going to say it.
Shut the fuck up. I'm not going to talk shit on the employees and the doormen who I love to death come hang out with me in my apartment. I pay a pretty penny to live in my apartment
it's
complex.
It's a beautiful place.
It's stunning.
Oh my gosh.
There's a bowling alley. There's a swimming pool.
There's a fucking, like, what is that? A daylight spa? What is that thing in the middle?
A zen garden.
It's just like, oh.
Yummy, you can come over whenever the fuck you want. It's an extravagant building.
Sophia has a fucking, she has a hibachi in her kitchen. She literally has hibachi in her kitchen.
That's a convo for another day. But I pay quite a bit of money to live where I live, okay?
Right.
I decided to splurge this year in New York because I've always been very frugal. And my apartment building decided that any food deliveries, we now need to leave our apartments, go downstairs, go outside, go to a separate fucking area to pick up our DoorDash, Postmates, fucking GoPuff, fucking I don't care what delivery service.
Is this a fucking fire drill?
It's...
You have to go outside?
Yeah. Why am I paying a delivery fee? For me to go pick it up?
You're like, I'm tipping you for... You have to tip them half. Tip them half.
But the thing is, I don't want to let it out on them. It's the fucking building.
Okay, well, then you need to have that discussion. Because you are paying a pretty penny, and that's not fair.
I don't know. I just don't think me alone, I'll be able to, like... How do I get everyone in the building to protest you? Or something?
Ooh, oh, my God. Wait, let's bake cookies.
The sleuths to pull the fuck up. Yes. Oh my God. Guys, it's just, I want everyone to understand, and I feel like everyone can feel where I'm coming from. If you are paying for a delivery service, there are taxes, there is a delivery fee, there's all this
fucking... It is so expensive.
I'm paying for a service, and then this building that I pay so much money to live in is not letting me get the full service.
I think you should just get on board, on the board of the committee, and then you should just...
Oh, help. I'm sure Sophia Franklin will be on the board of the committee. I already have like a complaint in my files.
I run a podcast. I can run this building.
Whatever. It's just, I think it's complete bullshit. I don't know what to do about it. The only thing is there is a little bit of a loophole, and if it's after 11 p.m. and before 7 a.m., then they're allowed to bring it up.
Okay.
So I
buy in bulk.
Get it the fuck together. But everyone that works there, I love you. It's upper management. We always know that. Fuck them. It's always the head honcho. Can you feel it, Sleuths? The days are getting warmer and spring has officially sprung, which means spring break is here. Which, for the older folk, that basically means people are going outside, they're staying outside, and they are staying out way longer. But the thing is, who wants to deal with those post-party struggles? I know I don't. I mean, I quite literally and physically can't at this stage in my life. And that's where my spring break essential comes in, which is Taste Salud. Say goodbye to the Sunday scaries with Taste Salud's hydrating drink mixes. Listen, I started my spring break a little bit early last weekend when my best friend Allie came to town. And we had a night or two on the town, and how I felt, honestly, come Monday morning was better than any spring break party you can imagine. And that is a rare occurrence for me and has only started happening since I've started drinking Taste Salud religiously. Because unlike those big name brands we all know, Salud knocks it out of the park with their one-of-a-kind flavors. I'm drinking one right now. And no, it's not because I plan on drinking any kind of alcohol, but just because I'm trying to get hydrated and energized. I'm obviously drinking the horchata flavor, but you get to enjoy flavors like cucumber lime, hibiscus, and they even have mocktails now. Say hello to Paloma and strawberry margarita. Filled with electrolytes and vitamins that support hydration and boost immunity with less sugar. I'm talking only 1 gram of sugar per stick. This is exactly what you need to get your Sunday fun day going, regardless of what the rest of the day entails. And here's the best part. They're sharing the love with all of my listeners. Enjoy 10% off your first purchase with the code SOFIA10 at checkout. That's SOFIA and the number 10 at TasteSalud.com. Cheers to health this spring break season with Taste Salud. Enough about me, John. What's new with you? What's the update? Besides you needing to get surgery.
Okay, I'm not going to be going to down on the needle.
But you should be.
But I really should be. Okay, I do have to get surgery. And
I want to bring it up because I want people. You want me to tell,
yeah.
I want the people to urge you the way that I've been urging you to go to the hospital and it's get really surgery because it's so bad. No,
every time I show someone.
Insane.
It's really bad. No, it hurts and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And right. I just need to get it taken out. And I don't want to alarm anyone, but okay. What it is, I got stung by a stingray.
So he has a huge fucking lump the size of my fist. And it's growing.
It's growing okay. And it's getting uncomfortable to the point where it's like, I sometimes walk weird and
The story behind it, though, is so comical. It deserves...
You want me to... Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
It's a movie.
So, okay. I was on a beach in San Diego. It was a nude beach. And
thank
it was
you.
Called Black's Beach in San Diego. If you know it, shout out Black's Beach.
Nudist beach. You can be completely naked.
And I'm not going to say I'm into nude beaches, but I'm into nude beaches.
So much.
So I go to this nude beach with my friends. It's my first time I had ever been there. And I was living in San Diego for a little bit. And my friends, they were like, let's go. It was just this guy, his boyfriend, and my friend. Mm-hmm. And you have to hike down there. It is a hike. It's not just we're at the beach. No, you have to fucking hike down there.
Rock climb.
Yeah. And it's you have to find a spot, whatever. We did all of that and it was fine. Mm-hmm. Had a great time getting drunk, having we're naked doing we're not doing anything weird. We're just naked,
it's
having
a
little breeze.
Beach.
It's a little breeze and it's just I don't really give a fuck, you know?
People think nudist beaches, you're doing weird shit. No, it's a regular beach.
It's
but
just
you
I don't want tan lines and it's just fuck it. So I was whatever. I'm getting a little drunk. I'm gonna go in the ocean. Everyone's we're not gonna go in. I was whatever, I'm going in. So of course I run in there and I'm just drunk, just just being fucking, because this was back in 2015, so it's been
time for surgery. Yeah, but continue.
So I'm running around, just my 22 year old self or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just running around and I fucking step on something slimy and I'm just okay. What the fuck was that? But whatever. And it's I take another step and I thought I got bit by a shark and I was just oh my God.
Was there blood?
Well, I was in the water, so I couldn't see what was going on underneath the legs. The water was probably up to my wiener. I would say up to upper thigh wiener area.
Okay.
It was where I was. I was just hopping around. I didn't know anything about there's something called the fucking stingray shuffle where you're supposed to shuffle around. Anyway, so I knew something happened and I knew it wasn't good. So I get out of the water and I'm just I'm running back, but I'm also I feel I'm a little bit numb in the leg because I'm I don't know if it's poisonous or what, but I don't know if it's shock, but I am numb. I'm something's going on. Uh-huh. So I get out there and there's blood trailing and my friends and I'm God. I'm just waving. I'm something happened. I got bit by a shark or something. Right. And then I literally get onto the shore and I fall. And then they come running over. Everyone's naked. I'm naked. People along the nudist beach are huddling around and then they go and get the fucking lifeguard. Mind you, I'm fully naked And there are some naked people around me, but it's like optional. So there are like very well clothed people around me too.
Yeah.
And it's mostly clothed people, which was like kind of fucked up. And the lifeguard comes and gets me and he's picking at my foot, trying to find out what
happened. And your dick is out.
Dude, he is flipping my leg around and everyone saw my butthole that day. And you know what's the most fucked up part?
What?
I had to hike back up that place with a hurt foot.
Wait, hold on. Didn't someone pee on you?
No, because that's a jellyfish, but they like, no.
I swear someone tried to pee on you.
No, that would be out of this
world. That would have.
I'm naked and someone pee. Oh, hell no. Hell no. Just take my foot off. No. Okay. But anyway, it's scar tissue from the stingray. I need to get taken out of my foot because it's affecting my daily health and my daily walking and skateboarding. And
it's growing.
All of the above, and it's growing.
And I just can't believe that was a stingray. And so anyone listening, do the stingray shuffle.
Stingray shuffle.
It's like the monster dance. It's like a dance move.
There you go.
That's fucking insane. I was bit by a parrotfish once and no one believes me because those type of fish don't bite people, but it did in Bermuda and I was bleeding, but ooh. We're not going to make it about me my show.
Oh, come on. I want to know about it.
Quickly.
Come on, please.
No.
Please.
John's being sarcastic.
No, I really do want to know. I really want to know.
You don't think it's a cool story?
I don't know about it.
I'm going to say it in 3 sentences. There was a parrotfish. Parrotfish eat coral and they eat it and it turns into sand. Everyone look that one up, okay? Because that's a very interesting fact. I was standing on a rock. There's all these little kids around me. There's a huge parrotfish the size of my upper torso swimming around. Super cute. I have a picture of him, everything. He comes up to the rock. He bites my toe. I think it's because I had bright pink nail polish on. And then I was walking around Bermuda and I was asking people at the hotel, like, oh my God, this parrotfish did this. And they said, we have never heard of a parrotfish doing this. Like, gaslighting me. Like, telling me it didn't happen. Anyways, I have pictures. Disgusting. Look at their teeth.
They're kind of cute.
That thing bit my toe, John.
Oh, it's like wearing lipstick.
It's fucking terrifying. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning into Marine Biology. Hear us fucking next week. John, I want to talk about your job because I think that you've spoken about it a lot in the past. We both worked in finance and I want to give some career advice to people. And by we, I mean you.
Okay.
Because we both fucking hated our jobs. And I think 99% of the population can feel that.
Right.
To a certain level.
Right. I mean, I don't think like everybody loves their job. I feel like,
no.
I feel like job is called a job because it's a job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People tell me, oh my God, you get to talk shit for an hour a week for a living. Mm. You must love it. I do, but it's still a job. Like, I would still rather just not have a job at all.
I mean, I think that would be the luxury.
Right.
But also not very fulfilling. But, like, that would be luxurious.
So, you told me the last episode you were on, you were like, I love my job. I fucking love it. And there was a lot of sarcasm in your voice.
Yeah.
Now, our most recent conversation about your work, you like it or you've learned to like it.
You know what it was they did do a retreat. So we had like an offsite retreat and that's like supposed to like boost morale or whatnot.
Yes.
And I feel like it fucking worked because I was fucking Joseph Kony or whatever, like chugging the Kool-Aid. So I don't know if that was even his name.
I have no idea that's his name. But when you said chugging the Kool-Aid, it registered.
Regardless, like I was fucking chugging that Kool-Aid and I drank it and I feel a lot better about my job. And I feel like it's like, if it was because of that or what, or because I just decided like maybe like this is what it is, but I've started to enjoy it a lot more and accept it for what it is and like actually ask myself like, what is my purpose at the firm?
Yes.
And now I'm like, okay, maybe like the reason I'm here isn't just to be pissed off. maybe it's to maybe it's to make a change somewhere, mm-hmm. or like maybe it's to like do XYZ. So like now I'm actually like thinking into like the big picture, like because before that I was like pretty pissed off. Like they've like they haven't been the nicest in the in a lot of ways, but like it's also they've been very generous in other ways. Mm-hmm. So it's just
which is every job.
It's very tricky. Yeah. It's like a love-hate relationship, but I was very much on the hate. Mm-hmm. Until I think like this like on-site off-site situation, I really like it made me realize why, like what can I do? Yeah. Why am I here? And like let's make those changes happen, even if like I'm not exiting right away. Like I have time to maybe right. make a little difference here and there, and there's a reason I'm here to like maybe do that.
Right.
So like that's kind of what it was with like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people, if they are in a job that they don't feel is the most fulfilling, incredible, amazing thing ever, mm-hmm. they just want to sit there and fucking hate on it day after day after day.
But like also I feel like the older that I get, the more I'm just like, wait, I like don't give a fuck. Like I,
what do you mean? What?
Like I don't like I care, but I'm not going to put your feelings over mine to the point where I'm just like, it. Are they mad at me? Like I don't give a shit. Like I
at your job.
Like at my job, it's the type of job where you're not getting like constant validation, being like, oh, you're doing such a great job. Mm-hmm. Like or like you don't hear that. Like you'll only hear if you're doing a bad job. So it's like,
I think that's every job because that's mine as well.
I feel like it's a very much of a male dominant. That's like a male trait thing as well, as I feel like a male manager is very much like that.
Well, finance is predominantly male.
Yeah. Which is makes me love it so much more. But like, I really do. I don't hate it. I'm starting to like it and what it is for. But do I think it's forever? I don't think anything is forever. I think everything in life is temporary. And
yeah,
I'm just fucking going for the ride, baby. But right. I'm just putting a smile on my face a little bit harder.
Which I love.
Yeah.
Because if you sit there, this is not me saying if you're miserable in your job, get content. And complacent and just make it work. That's not what we're saying.
No.
We're saying...
Well, it depends on how bad it is. Like, how bad is it? It
depends on how bad.
Are you able to navigate your life? Like, are you... How much do you hate it? Like, pros and cons list. Like, just weigh in your head. Be like, what... Is this worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth my time? Because, like, time is so expensive. Like, time is the most expensive thing in the world.
Right.
Literally the most expensive. So if you want to have your time being put into that, just manage your time and make sure it's being, you know, directed in the right ways. And if you can direct it in the right ways in your current position, I think that you'll be able to succeed, take a step back and like see it for what it is. But if it's a very hostile environment and it's not worth your time, then get the fuck out.
Right. You have to gauge how bad. But for a lot of us and for a lot of people, you don't fucking love your job, right? Period. But my point is that if you are in a situation where you can't leave your job at that particular moment, right?
Okay.
And you know you need to stay there and work through it for however long, whether it's a few months or a few years, there is something to be said about making it manageable and making it
right. But like also you need to like set a precedent like for yourself. Like you need to set expectations and like be like, okay, like this is where I see myself. And like if I'm not gonna get this, like I've already set this for myself for next year, and I'll be completely honest with like I'm starting to like my job a lot more, but I've set expectation to where I'm like, if I'm not getting paid this much, I'm out. Done. Bye. I'm telling you now, I was disgraced. I was disappointed. I felt like very much you like pissed the fuck off last year.
Right.
If you make me feel that way this upcoming year, done.
I'm out.
So that's what it is.
Which is super
and
smart.
You're able to do that. You are allowed to make those boundaries for yourself and like to say like, I've had enough. But like, if it's maybe like just it depends on where you're at and like how much you can take and like where your line is drawn, because everyone has a line. And
yeah. So it helped you learn to like your job just by setting goals and parameters that you, if they're not reached, you will be gone type thing.
Yes, that, but also just taking a step back and just like being like, I could leave tomorrow. I could literally, right. I could leave right now if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But there's a purpose as to why I'm here.
And why I've stayed here.
And I do think that my purpose there is like inclusion and diversity. I think it's like my purpose is to like be a, like make a little noise.
So that is mind blowing to me. And I think that is the most interesting thing you've ever said to me our entire friendship.
What? Make a little noise? Because I ain't loud enough.
Not make a little noise, but you could be working at a finance firm and don't feel like you have to stay in the box.
No.
I don't feel like, oh, and then I become an analyst and then a financial advisor and then da, da, da. Maybe you go in a completely different direction within that same firm, that same job that speaks to you. And what speaks to you is inclusion, diversity.
Just like the whole male, like, you know, dominant and straight cis white male dominant. Mm-hmm. It just pisses me the fuck off. And like, I think that there needs to be just a different sort of onboarding process.
I like that. Onboarding.
Onboard. Just any, anything, anything, anything. We'll take muffins. If you want to give us gift baskets, we'll take those too. But like anything.
Because you do want to be compensated more.
I need it. Oh, well, fairly.
I mean, who works in a job where they don't want to be compensated more?
I mean, fairly.
Hi, me. Hi, probably everyone. John's tactic as to how to be compensated more, he brought it up to me at lunch last week. And it was very interesting, very dynamic, very, very you.
What was it?
It was, I don't know if you were just in a bad mood. If you were just.
What was it?
You basically said, I'm going to lose so much weight.
Dude, I don't have a choice.
So that, okay, fine. Let me continue. So that they notice that I'm drowning in my clothes and I'm not doing well and they have to give me a raise. Is verbatim what you said at lunch.
I said, I'm going to look so fucking good in winter. So it's like, why? I'm like, I'm going to be drowning in those fucking clothes. I'm going to be fucking Mary Kate. I'm going to be drowning in those clothes. You won't even be able to find me. I'm over here. No, it's just my fucking scarf. No, literally, like, they don't pay me enough to eat is the issue. I just took out another credit card. It sucks.
Okay, we don't know if it's them. We don't know if it's your spending. It might be a little bit of both.
Definitely both.
But you, John, sitting down saying, I have a game plan. This is how I'm going to get a raise. I'm going to start disappearing.
Ew.
Physically.
Ew.
I'm not. People will be scared for my well-being.
Is he okay? Should we be worried?
The firm will be like, should we be scared? And he needs a raise.
And I'll say, yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, I don't think it would go from we're worried to let's give the man a raise.
Look, I'm happy to put my body at God's testament and just say, take it for what it is. Take everything away from me. Let me brittle and I will get a raise. Who knows? Maybe it will work. I've tried everything else.
I personally don't think that will work. But when John...
We'll circle back
and we'll let you guys know. But when
catch me in the winter drowning my sweaters.
When John said, I'm just trying to get ready for my winter bod. That was something I'd never heard of. I was like, you mean your summer bod and you're like in your swimming suit and whatever.
No.
And John said, no, I want to be drowning in my sweater. Like my clothes are way too big for me.
Noticeably drowning. Like they need to help me.
Yeah.
Like I'm drowning in my clothes. Come help me.
Maybe we could just buy you extra, extra, extra large of everything.
No, I need it. I want it to be dramatic.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need the drama.
I need to set a precedent. Look, I'm not looking for a 10% raise here, okay?
It's 30 or 40 and that's it. I understand. Okay, I get it. Now, this is something I'm excited for. This April, reality TV hits a new high on Hulu. From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel, the all-new Hulu original series, High Hopes, premieres on 4/20. Just in time for your viewing pleasure and a very special holiday. Even for those who don't celebrate, like me, you can still keep your hopes high for the new Hulu original reality series. High Hopes follows two budding entrepreneur brothers and their hilarious, half-baked, literally, employees at one of the fastest-growing cannabis dispensaries in Hollywood. This workplace comedy showcases the highs and even more highs of the competitive marijuana industry. Career aspirations, love, and a quest for fame are only a few of the things that this dope family of owners and bud tenders are highly seeking. Mark your calendar for 420 to get into the new reality series High Hopes, streaming only on Hulu. Now this is my kind of content right here. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, starring the absolute queen herself, Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event, close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. But her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide, and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. John, I want to do a quick, easy, breezy, beautiful SLU University.
Okay. Wait, isn't this like when the music plays? Like,
yes, the music. The music is about to play. No, it's not. Yeah. Like, no, it's not. Yeah. It's different music. We're not about to try to do it. But I am the professor. But today, since you're here, you're gonna kind of take over.
Oh.
And I'm okay. More of like the backup. The
okay.
TA.
Here we go.
And we spoke about this a little bit. I just asked you, hey, is there anything on the episode you would like to talk about? And you said, I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-E-N-T.
Do you know what that means?
I literally just spelled independent wrong. I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T. Do you know what that means? Thank you. There we go. Independent.
Okay.
Independence.
Independent.
That's what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, a little bit.
So I'm going to let you take it away.
Okay. So
where did this stem from?
From you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I already knew that this was a personal attack on me when he brought it up. And I'm going to take it. So go ahead.
Okay. So the issue is that there are some people in this world that don't particularly know how mm-hmm. or want to be mm-hmm. alone. And I feel like maybe you could possibly be one of those people, and you've had visitors come in. You haven't lived alone. Mm-hmm. Like, you've just had people stay with you for like the past, what, like 2 or 3 months. And it's just like to a point where it's like, is she on a bender or is she just having fun?
Is that me not being independent or is that me being a gracious host letting people?
That's you having like attachment issues and it's not healthy.
Okay.
Why did you move alone? Why did you move alone?
To really take the reins on being alone and my independence.
Okay. So then why? So out of the past two.
So why are there people staying with me every single day?
Yeah.
I think it's a mix of a couple things. A, they reach out to me. Okay. I'm an innocent bystander.
Okay.
B, I facilitate the entire fucking thing because I am scared to be sitting in my apartment alone and have to deal with my feelings and deal with everything going on and really grasp and own being independent.
Okay. So here is what I just like want to say.
Okay.
If you are like in a relationship and you don't like fully know yourself, if you can't fully be alone, mm-hmm. it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to be alone, if you can't love yourself, if you can't be independent, if you can't live without somebody else, if you can't live for yourself and you are in a relationship right now and you don't feel that way, or you're thinking about getting into a relationship, stop. Fucking stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be able to know yourself, mm-hmm. love yourself, love spending time with yourself, mm-hmm. only by yourself, mm-hmm. for like extended periods of time. Like, you should be able to be alone. You got an apartment to be alone. You live there to be alone. You wanted to be single. That's like why you wanted to be single in the first place, is right. because you wanted to live alone and experience all these things and be independent.
Right.
So like the topic is independence.
Which John can speak to, because we should give them some background.
I just don't, yeah.
You have been independent for, I don't even know how long, lived alone, haven't been in back-to-back-to-back relationships at all. Barely had any relationships.
Well, I have issues.
Which is its own issue. But the independence thing is you've got that shit down.
I mean, I had that point down to like, I'm basically Chelsea Handler. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be with anyone at this point. Uh-huh. But like, also, like, I know that like, if I were to be in a relationship right now, I would be able to fucking send it like so fucking well. But it's like, that's because I know myself and I know what, like, I'm able to love myself and be alone. But like, also it does get a little tricky too with independence, is because like there are like boundaries, and like sometimes I like being alone a little bit too much.
See, I was about to challenge you on that one.
Yeah.
I was about to challenge you on that one because I think that we're polar opposites when it comes to that.
No.
You know?
I don't get FOMO. Sometimes I'm out and I would rather be alone.
Well, okay. See, John, that's where it gets a little bit complicated, is because you and I are both on that same page. I mean, let me just let everyone know, when John and I go out, we spend hours getting ready, hours pre-gaming,
which is so much fun,
hours listening to fucking Britney, Lady Gaga, like what I'm not even gonna say the names, because John actually takes over.
Putting Lady Gaga
no
on.
I
have a very diverse playlist.
Your playlist is much more advanced than mine.
I might have a song or two of her, but okay, like,
I was talking about my playlist. Okay. Your playlist, which we don't listen to because you won't fucking let me, because you hog the aux like a motherfucker. But we spend hours getting ready, pre-gaming, da-da-da. And then we go out to the club and we're there for about
10,
15, 20 minutes. And it's like, we give each other this look, and it's every single time.
Over.
We gotta go home.
Gotta go home.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Gotta jet.
So I feel like you have to be independent to the point where it's like, you know yourself, you just need to be independent and like live the fuck alone and just learn to love yourself, girl. Take care of yourself.
But what does that have to do with the FOMO? Because I'm the same as you. I love to go the fuck home.
So do you ever get like, so then you don't get fear of missing out, then why do you have an issue staying in?
I have a fear of missing out, but I also don't like being out. I think that's how everyone feels.
I don't feel that way.
Really?
I sometimes would rather be in. Just all the time.
And you never have FOMO. You never feel guilty for not going out.
I never get FOMO.
Okay. Well, you know what? Regardless, I'm very independent in a lot of ways. I rent my own apartment. I live alone. I'm not like John. The face John is giving me is making me want to just cry right now and say, I'm not independent. I pay my own bills.
Stop letting people stay at your house. That's it.
Okay, fine.
Just stop. Like, it's on a crack den. Like, let people live where they live. They have their own apartments. They have their own, like, okay, they pay their own leases.
But then I have to deal with my own emotions and feelings and thoughts, and I'm not ready.
Shoot. Let me know if you need help.
Okay, fine. Whatever. So Yes.
Be independent, y'all. Don't look for anybody else to fucking tell you how you're going to live your life and like how you're going to live at your best.
That is a lesson for today, folks.
That is one decision that you can only make, and learn to love yourself, baby.
Ooh, learn to love yourself. That will be next week's fucking episode because I don't know how to do that yet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Anyway, sleuths, okay, let's get into my favorite segment and John's favorite segment, which is SOS, Save Our Sleuths. The sleuths have written in their questions, stories, advice, and let's get fucking into it and let's solve some problems.
Let's get dirty.
Let's get down and dirty and disgusting. Okay, number one, SOS, I think I'm falling in love with my gay friend who even has a boyfriend. I know how pathetic this is, but I need help. I see him nearly every day at school. He gives off straight man vibes. I don't know what that means. Anyways, he's hot, great person in general, and gets very flirty with me, especially when we drink. We are very good friends and enjoy being around each other. I've met his boyfriend multiple times and they are great together, so fuck me. Maybe I'm just starved of straight male attention, but I don't know what to do. I need some advice because all I can think of is distancing myself, but I don't think that's feasible or even what I want to do. Have you ever had romantic feelings about John?
Oh.
Please help. Thanks. Oh. Illy.
Have you?
I have.
Illy. Have you?
No. Have you for me?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't work like that.
I felt romantic, not romantic. I felt love for you, like brother.
Like out of your.
No, I haven't felt it in my pussy. I felt it in my heart. Okay. That's where I felt it.
Fair enough.
Where have you felt it for me?
Not in my dick. definitely my heart. My heart, my mind, my soul.
I mean, John and I would have fucking sleepovers in high school.
Yeah.
And there was no funny business.
No, we weren't like fondling. But like, no. I also wasn't that gay that was like making out with the girls.
I personally had no idea you were gay until that one night when you took Ambien.
I was 15.
Okay.
You knew me for like literally like 2 years before that.
Okay, but I was the first person you told you were gay.
Yeah.
I had no idea you were gay up until then.
Thank you. Well, I had a girlfriend.
Oh, you did?
We never really did too much funny business.
With her. Okay, let's not talk about us. Let's answer this fucking girl's question.
Okay, well, I think that, like, she should, like, remember that, like, just because they're gay doesn't mean they're, like, not a human being. Like, it's literally the same thing as, like, you have more feelings for your friend and he weren't gay. Like, if you were just straight, like, it's the same thing. Like, it would just make things, like, it's not like he's gonna be, like, drop things and be like, oh, fuck my boyfriend, I'm moving in with you. Like, I'm pretty sure he has his mind made up. Like, he knows what he likes and he's doing it.
Basically, what and you're saying, what is, saying is, girl, fuck, give the fuck up.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to be politely like, girl, like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah, I like, agree with that.
Also, don't make it weird because, like, would you feel like it was, it might, I don't know.
What?
I might get a little weirded out. I might not get a little, I might.
About what?
I don't know if I would take it flattering or if I would get weirded out.
Oh, if I started having like romantic feelings.
If a friend were to tell me like, oh, like I'm having romantic feelings for you, I'm trying to like put myself in that situation to be like.
Yeah, how would you feel if that happened?
I would probably feel a little weirded out. That's why.
And would you try to be like, ooh.
That's what I'm saying is like, I think this girl needs to like remember that you're friends, like maybe get yourself on Hinge, girl. I don't know what you have to do. Yeah, like, I don't know what you have to do. I don't know if you have to go down to the convenience store and sell yourself. No. But, like, you need to fucking get laid. And, like, it's not by him.
And it is
It's not by his boyfriend either. And you just need to, like, put yourself on Grindr. Put yourself out there. But, like, wait, don't put yourself on Grindr.
What are you talking about? Just this girl on Grindr?
Anything else. Maybe anything else. Okay. I feel like maybe don't do your friend. I wouldn't even tell him.
Well, she's wondering. She's saying, I want to distance myself. And honestly, maybe you should if you can't overcome these feelings.
Oh, come on. Get over it.
What?
She can't get over it. How old is she?
Well, she wants to distance herself a little bit.
Like, how?
Yes, she's young. I understand. Not really, because I've never had a gay friend that I had a boyfriend. Like, stop having, who was
like,
gay.
Stop getting so horny. Like, just like fucking find a boyfriend and just be friends with him. Like, and let him be have his boyfriend. Like, he's happy. Leave him alone. He doesn't need the stress.
You know what? We did not answer this question, and I'm trying to respect the fact that she has romantic feelings. I'm also trying to respect the fact that
his
sexual preference, and it is not you, girl.
Like, unless he's giving you signs, it's not going to work.
Well, she said he gets flirty when they're drunk. And I'm like, John and I, if you saw us out at a party, probably look like we're being flirty.
I sometimes smile.
We're not flirting, though. We're just touching. That didn't sound weird at all. What? Girl, he's gay. And if you're really falling in love with him, I think you need to understand how he feels about his sexuality, and that should make it pretty fucking clear.
Yeah.
And if you can't handle it, then go ahead and distance yourself.
Maybe ask your mom. Moms always know the best answers.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to start. That's how I'm going to start answering questions on this podcast. Ask your mom, because I have no fucking clue. But no, I have never had, John and I have never had romantic feelings for one another. However, I have had boyfriends who used to like get jealous of John.
I got beat up a couple of times because of that.
Not because of my boyfriends.
No, not yours.
Just
other.
Which is really sad and unfortunate. I'm sorry that happened.
Sorry, I can't be friends with your girlfriend.
That's so fucked up. That's disgusting.
I know.
But I did have boyfriends who were like, you slept over at John's or like da-da-da. And I'm like,
it was crazy.
Literally fuck off. Okay. Great, amazing girl. Best of luck to you. All right. Hey, Soph, I am only 21 and in college, so I don't have a lot of money saved. The problem is that I am a very materialist girl. Say I get $1,000 for Christmas, I will literally go out 5 days later and spend it on a real gold necklace. I keep a running list of things that I want in my phone, and after I buy something, I cross off the list and immediately add something else. Everything that I buy is good quality and things I've been wanting for a while, so it's not necessarily impulse buys. What is your advice on how to break this habit? I'm really struggling. Please help.
Oh, she's struggling. Like financially struggling?
She has a certain financial situation.
Okay.
But she's very materialistic and likes to buy a bunch of shit. Fine.
Okay.
But the thing is, the type of shit she wants to buy isn't necessarily Shein, Forever 21, Amazon Prime shit. It's a real gold necklace. And it's intense enough where the second she buys something, she's adding something new to the list.
Well, like, knock it off.
Okay,
girl, put your fucking credit cards in the fucking freezer. I don't know what you have to do, but like, stop doing it. I mean, I treat myself. I feel like maybe have boundaries, but like also I think that it's a form of therapy. Is like
I do too, but this is what I'm gonna say is, where is the need coming from? Where you need like the real gold necklace?
Yeah, and like also I hate. when people will like buy something just because it's something. Because
it's designer.
And I'm like, wait, that's like so ugly. Just because it's
right?
Fucking Gucci doesn't mean you should have bought it.
And the logo is all over and
it looks awful.
Yes.
Like just... I would have rather me not know what brand it was and mm-hmm. it be like something cute.
Yeah.
So maybe like start shopping for yourself. Like, are you shopping for yourself or are you shopping for other people?
Girl, check
yourself into therapy.
Girl, let me take over for a second. You don't need the real gold bracelet. You just don't. Okay.
Well,
my jewelry is bought now as I think she might need it. As I can.
She might want it.
No. Pick and choose what things you need to spend money on, but there is no reason why every single thing you buy should be real gold, expensive, top tier. I mean, come on.
But like,
although we like to buy things ethically,
I do want to point out one thing is if you are buying like really good stuff, then the resale, you should be good.
It sounds like she's not reselling. She's well, fucking...
that's what I'm saying. If she's hungry, go sell your bracelet, girl.
Yeah. And also, I think that is it called? Retail therapy is a real thing until it becomes an issue, like an addiction. It's like gambling.
Yeah.
If you're writing in about much, it,
then like, maybe you should just quit. Like, stop eating Top Ramen and sell your bracelet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. No one's going to notice if your jewelry is real or fake 9 times out of 10. And that's the truth. I swear to God. Boom. Done. Okay. Last question. Hey, Sophia. How do I deal with my boyfriend's female friend? They have known each other for 6 years. And ever since she first met me, she has been rude to me. Constantly tells me how they've seen each other naked when they lived together, told me that if she didn't like someone he was dating, then he'd stop seeing them, said that she's the most important woman in his life, constantly touches him and calls him sexy, and I recently found texts from her to my boyfriend saying, she doesn't think I'm right for him, what do I do?
Whoa.
Usually I give a long-winded answer, and this is one of those times where I'm just going to say, you're going to give him an ultimatum. It's her or you. That's it.
Done. No, literally, that's it.
I don't think I've ever given an answer that fast.
That's so fast. Like, no, I have the exact same one. And you know what? I feel like he might choose her. And then fuck it. Get out of there.
And then you should feel even fucking better about moving the fuck on.
And let me just say it for the rest of the people in the back. That girl's a cunt.
That girl is a fucking cunt.
No, I'm kidding. But like,
no, she is. C-U-N-T.
They might just have vibes, but like, I'm sorry,
no,
girl.
No, this girl is a mean girl, and I'm allowed to call a mean girl a cunt.
Oh, yeah, she was a cunt, huh?
And I'm not saying her name.
Okay, fine. She's a cunt.
It's very rude. Okay, example. One of my best guy friends starts dating a girl. I would never, ever, 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 ever be mean to them.
Well, maybe I don't know why he's dragging her along.
Tell the girl that I'm the most important woman in her life. You know who's the only woman on planet Earth who could tell me that about my boyfriend? His mother. Then I'm going to say, you know what, queen? You are absolutely correct. Besides that,
he sounds shady.
Fuck off.
He sounds super shady.
She's shady. And
I already feel like I already can just tell that his answer would be her. And like, and that just,
he would be like,
I feel like this girl knows that it's her.
I know.
If she were to give an ultimatum.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
He's giving me weird vibes, man.
Ultimatum, or just don't even give him that and just fucking leave. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining John Like the Bible and I. John, where can they find you?
On Instagram at John Like the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And the twiddly twit 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 twitter at John the Bible.
Okay, me as always, Sophia with an F, Franklin with a Y on all social media except TikTok, which is Sophia Franklin and the number 0, which that's really where I thrive, I think. And with that, you guys, I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.